much to do, and we've got only 36 minutes to do it. Dick, good morning. Yep. There he is. Dick, good morning.
I'm learning about weather and everything this morning. Derecho.
That's a derecho. Look it up. Yeah, it's very. It's you never know. You never know what
weird.
What font of learning is gonna come your way.
We had that rain this morning, but no storms. But man,
no derecho. There you go.
A good couple hours it poured, but it looks like yeah. It's missing Belmont. I keep checking the radar.
I kind of would like it to hit Belmont, and that would be all right by me. Not that the filly can't get her. You know, we wanted to get her a turf start, but I thought if there was weather this close, let's let it come and let's maybe get a wet track. Dick, a couple of things. Let's dive right into the action. And I don't know if you had a chance to listen. I think you did to Nick Luck, but Royal Ascot next week and.
Stevie there?
Yeah.
I'm
yep.
sorry. That's just
Royal Ascot. No problem. Yeah, I can hear actually a little.
Different schedule, more races, seven races a day. So that was. Let me get off the headset. Maybe that'll help. Seven races, one day there's eight, so there's going to be a lot of action. Those handicap races are just wild because they'll have 20, 30 horse fields. So if you want big fields, you're going to get them. And new schedule, and I heard Nick talking about that, and just, it's a little bit not as intuitive as the schedule used to be, but with the pandemic, things got pushed back. So and I guess Hong Kong's going to host the international pools. So all that money is going to get commingled and run through the Hong Kong Jockey Club. So that's going to be some massive, massive pools going on for the races. So that's all good. Looking forward to it. I didn't hear anything about weather next week, so hopefully we can get through without either dry or wet extreme weather.
Nick made it sound like the early part of the week was promising.
Good. Good. Now, last Sunday, this was unbelievable. Sha Tin had 19 inches of rain.
Wow.
I mean, I had at first, I'm reading they had 520 millimeters of rain. I'm like, gee, that sounds like a lot because this much is a centimeter. And then, you know, you figure a meter is over 38 inches, 37.8 or something. And I just to make sure I did the conversion. Well, they had this massive monsoon, thunderstorm, lightning, everything else. It stopped in the morning, especially the lightning. And they ran all the races. The turf was yielding. They had no problems with the ground. And they've invested tremendous amounts of money into their course and into the drainage and into the constant upkeep. And I can't imagine any surface getting that kind of rain in a short period of time, like in 36 hours. And still, we're good. We're racing. We got all 10 races in, no problem. And speed actually wound up doing well because you couldn't grab it. You couldn't sit and pounce. You had to have momentum early and keep it going. Yeah.
Yep.
So, And it led to, you know, thank God we've been talking about how form has kind of left town. We had that little streak there where favorites were doing well, and there was a decent amount of single-digit winners. And that hasn't been the case. We're now 7-48 with favorites the last 2.5-3 weeks. 284-1 winner last week at Happy Valley, and you know, just some crazy prices have been coming in. But reading the local papers over there, the jocks were saying that, you know, this time of year the horses are tired, form is kind of tough, some of the horses have been freshened at their training facility on the mainland in Kung Fu, and those horses are doing very well coming back to Hong Kong for racing. So Sunday, not a big day for Zach Purton or Joe Marrera. Matthew Poon, who's our main man with the long shots, he had four winners. And Alpha Chan is a terrific apprentice rider. He had three. So they've been picking up the pieces. So a big Sunday last week, despite insane weather. And then yesterday, only 4 days after the 19 inches of rain hit, they were good to firm yesterday at Happy Valley. No problem. Speed did well for the most part yesterday. The last race, the horse rallied from left field at 50-1, but most of the races were won on the pace. So heading into the last, we have 9 meetings left. 3 of them are at Happy Valley, 6 are at Sha-Tin. Well, Zach Purton has a big edge at Happy Valley. He has 54 winners there. Joe has 35. So he has a 19-win lead at Happy Valley. But in the overall standings, he's at 129, Joe's at 126. So just doing the simple math, you got to figure Joe's going to catch him, or it's just going to go down to the last day. And this coming Sunday, Joe has mounts in all 11 races. Zach only has mounts in 7 races. That's kind of shocking. So I don't know what that means. I know they've been, they haven't been complaining, but they're like eagerly trying to get mounts. But their issue is they don't draw that early, but the jocks make their commitments way early, like 10 days out. So they've already committed. So if you knew all it's like soft turf and then it winds up raining a week later, you don't know it's going to happen. So you might be stuck with a firm turf run or something like that. But that's coming down to the last, in my mind, the last day. And this is something, Steve, that if we had sports betting the way we should, not just this, but Saratoga Jockey Championship, Saratoga Trainer Championship. Well, it's probably not much of a bet, but you still have odds. And just things like that, that you could have fixed odds wagering on, the top jockeys. You like Castellani, you like Jose, you like Ira, you like Joel, and Johnny, any of the top riders coming in. And you'd have hot odds on them because, obviously, the favorite's I-Red, he might be even money or minus something, and everyone else is plus. And, they could change during the meet and things like that. Just something to keep people's interest. So the Hong Kong race goes down to the wire. Ricky Yu looks like he's going to clinch the trainer title. He's still grinding out wins. Francis Liu is close, but Tony Cruz's momentum slowed down a little bit. I don't know if he has enough race meets to get over. Last Sunday, we had a $27 winner, which I was happy about because my picks have been dreadful. But what I liked about it was it went exactly according to plan. The horse broke from the 12 hole. He had enough natural speed. Alpha Chan got him out of the gate well. He hustled him. He took the lead. He settled, and he turned for home, and he had a ton of energy in the stretch. So that was not just great to have the winner, but great that everything went according to plan, which, as we know, doesn't happen that often. So, Sunday, 11 races, 9 on the turf, 2 on the all-weather track, 9:30 post time at West Coast, 12:30 post time East Coast, and obviously back at Sha-Tin. I got 3 picks for you. Race 2, I like number 2, Iron King. Zach Purton's going to ride the Dennis Yip. This is an odd race. It's a 0-40 handicap, but 5 of the horses are rated at 40. So they're almost all dropping down from 40 to 60, so you don't get a big angle there. But it's a very tight grouping as far as the handicaps go. And Iron King draws post 3 to go in 7 furlongs. I think Zach can get him out. He does have some pace. Last time out, he broke terribly. But if he can get out of the gate, I think he can set up a nice position and take advantage. That's race 2, number 2. Race 8, we're on the all-weather. Going 6 furlongs. We only have 9 horses. Number 9, Willpower. It's about the only horse in here with any real form on the all-weather. He has 3 wins and 5 starts. Just runs terrific on it. He's spotted in the right class level, and I think he'll be super tough in race number 8. And then right into race number 9, which is a 7-furlong race. I like number 9, Leading Fortune. Form is kind of iffy. I mean, I was kind of looking for a price in this race because it looks pretty wide open. Neil Callan rides for John Size. Just had a big win back in April, then got scratched, and last race didn't really do much, was far back, made up a little bit of ground after losing everything at the start. Draws well for this. I think that race last time will have him ready for a good performance tonight. I think he'll be at least 20-1 in race 9. That's number 9, Leading Fortune. So that's that. I heard Nick talk about Pinatubo. He'll be back. The ground was very, very firm at Newmarket. They went 134 for the mile, and he looked like a winner when he split horses and went up after the leaders. I thought he had it, and then just kind of raced one pace to the wire, but that was first start in a long time. And so that was one shock, odds-on shock. And then the last shock was Almanai getting beat in Yasuda Kinnan in Japan at 3-10, I think she was. Didn't break particularly well.
Had a terrible, bad start.
Out of the gate and then kind of was over-eager after the bad break. So turning for home, that just didn't have the clout. So, I mean, she was good, but not the Almanai we're used to seeing. You know, so that was a big upset. So we started the day out with a big upset. We finished the day many hours later with a big upset, and lots of good racing in between. So
excellent. Dick, I do want to ask you, you said something, and I've been sort of sitting on this for a day and change knowing I could bring it up with you. You happened to mention Fixed Odds, and did you see the story from the last couple of days? Monmouth, back earlier in the winter, announced the intention to introduce Fixed Odds wagering, and now they've brought on this bet maker technology group to make it happen. Some thoughts. I mean, we've talked about Fixed Odds model for years and years, and it's something that certainly for as an innovation and as a way to introduce people to the game, it would help alleviate the situation where people go to the window and they see a certain price, and then when they go to cash their ticket, they're bewildered that the price was half of what they what they thought they were going to get. Some thoughts about this opportunity?
Well, I give all credit to the state of New Jersey and Monmouth Park management that they're way ahead of the game as usual. They're way ahead of the game with sports betting. They're way ahead of the game with exchange wagering, which is, here's the issue. Exchange wagering has not caught on in the state of New Jersey because there's not much liquidity in the pools, and they're not getting the action that Betfair, I don't know what it's called now, Flutter, they've been bought out, expected. My concern with the Monmouth Fixed Odds is you and I can't bet Monmouth Fixed Odds if we see a horse we like at Monmouth.
Right.
I don't think we can tap into the system to get it from out of state. So for New Jersey bettors, especially people at the track, That will be great. I hope they have the right hold, because when you do fixed odds wagering, you still have a takeout, and it's all based on the discrepancy that you have in your pricing. And I'll give you an example. Washington, D.C. just started sports betting. They have the worst pricing ever seen. They have minus 118 on their head-to-head action, instead of minus 110 like everybody else does, or even try to do something even better, minus 118. So they're starting out, no shot. They cannot make it. So I hope the bet maker people have a decent hold that makes it attractive for New Jersey residents to bet the fixed odds. It'll be interesting to see how it works. One of my concerns is TVG has never disclosed betting numbers in New Jersey. I mean, I've seen Kip get asked this at conferences. He dances around it. They just won't disclose what their handle is on Betfair in New Jersey. So I think this is better than Betfair because you're not worrying about someone to match your price. Someone's posting a price, and you can accept it or not. So I think it's all good. I think it's hopefully the first of many steps, but now we get back to the regulatory environment. Most states only legalize betting, you know, quote, paramutual wagering. So anything that's not paramutual falls into a gray area that's legally challenged and things like that. So once again, Jersey's ahead of everybody, and I wish they would benefit by being ahead of everyone, which clearly they do with sports betting. And hopefully on this, if you spend a summer day down at Monmouth Park, I'm sure they're going to have terminals, and I don't think they'll have bookmakers, but, you know, they'll have ways of going up and, yeah, I want 10 to 1. I'll take it. So, yeah, I hope it works. It's just worrisome, and it's understandable, nothing to do with Jersey, but it's just worrisome that we can't bet into those races at fixed odds. At least out-of-state people can't.
Right, but if you're gonna, much like these other projects, and we'll get to Dennis as we get closer later in June, as we get closer to Monmouth, Monmouth's gonna have an abbreviated season, obviously, and not starting until first week of July. So, I'm anxious to hear because I've always thought that it was one of the things that could help. Especially listening to Tina and with her as a mutual clerk and the time she said that, people, there's a few of these kinds of topics that, the game just doesn't seem to, there's some areas that they could make easy fixes. Yep. The one that I don't understand is the reporting of payouts. It's amazing that no matter how many times it's been brought up, there's still payouts in some cases being reported at, $2 increment or a $1 increment when it doesn't represent the minimum bet. And it's such a negative and such a silly thing that, you don't ever want somebody going up to the window and being disappointed when they cash a ticket. And, the payouts flash up on the screen. Somebody sees, $400, and then they go and they get 100 and they're like, oh, I thought it was 400. Well, that's for $2. You've got it for 50 cents. Jesus, what are you doing? This is just, easy fixes, and it's very frustrating.
Well, what NYRA does is they post the minimum. So if it's a 50-cent minimum, they post a 50-cent price. If it's a 10-cent minimum, it's a 10-cent price. And at least you don't run the risk of what you just said, where the payout is less than what they just advertised. Unfortunately, when you're on some of these websites, I'll tell you a dopey story. I had a nice pick six at Hollywood Park. So I was obviously thrilled. I'm waiting for the result to go official. I'm sweating that I didn't make any mistakes on my ticket. So back then, UBet was a big provider. So I go on the UBet site, and I look up the probables. And it's like, are you kidding? Well, it was a $1 probable. Well, why would you post a $1 probable on a $2 pick six? And yet it happens. So I'm like typical gambler. I just made a lot of money, but I'm crushed that it's not as much as I thought it was going to be. Thank God it was a $2 bet, not a $1 bet. So we've been barking about that for how long, and it's just so slow to change.
It's an easy fix. It shouldn't be complex, you would think, could easily. I guess the mentality is, show them what the biggest possible number. No, show them what you're introducing these smaller increment bets. Show them what the lowest increment would pay, or do both. Have the 50-cent will pay? Dollar? $2? I mean, you got, you know, the graphics. How difficult can it be? Speaking of which, Dick, one other quick question. I got to get to Rich Eng, so maybe we'll save this for a, you know, for a quieter period. But the introduction last night of the 10% pick five at Canterbury, and it appears that they're going to have to grapple with some. You know, some platforms, is that number so low that it makes it difficult for some platforms to take the bet and make anything on it?
It could be. An example I'll give is, remember Lou Raffetto had something similar to that years ago in Maryland?
Yes.
They had the
12%, I think, across everything for a 3 week period
and
for a small meet.
The OTBs in New York said, "We're not taking it." They just stopped. No, we're not doing it. So there is a point where if it's literally too low, when you get past the host fee and all these different things, yeah, you're cutting it real close. It's a great promotional tool. Got people to pay attention to Canterbury. I downloaded the PPs. I forgot about it last night till you mentioned it. And, what's great, Steve, is I hear these sports betting people on the radio, and they all dismiss horses. You can't beat horses. It's 25% rate. Well, no. If you're paying 25% takeout, you're an idiot. You can shop around and get low takeout. You can find your carryovers. You can bet pools that don't have the big takeouts. There's no reason to be paying 25% takeout on horse racing. You can adjust your behavior, if takeout's that important to you, to get it way down. And these kind of picks, especially almost every pick five now, is 15%. So those are great. And this is even better at 10. And yeah, it's just, I hope it succeeds. It's, what did you say? They bid 102,000?
102,000 yesterday.
Yeah, that's a great number, especially starting off. And
it's a good start. Yeah, last year, I guess there somebody compared it to I guess 57. I thought I saw, because they didn't. Let me see if they had it. I'll look. I have to look and see what. I think they were happy with the start.
Yeah, I think it's a great start, and I'll be looking, yeah, because that's what I look for. I don't want to pay the big takeout number. I mean, 1 year I estimated my takeout for the year was under 14%. If you can have some level of discipline and only play pick six, now the pick six is all different. But back then, if you only played pick sixes when there were carryovers,
sure,
that ate up takeout and stuff like that, You can get that number down.
Now we've tried to, you know, direct people in that, you know, in that vein for a while. I mean, there's room for, you know, price shopping on that front. Dick, I appreciate it. Good luck this weekend. We'll talk to you from Belmont next week.
All right, sounds good. Thanks, Steve.
Dick Powell, everybody, and actually dwindling at this point. What do we got? One, two. We have eight more meetings to come at Hong Kong. It's been a good season. They've had and certainly highlighted in part by the Tommy Masses Grand Slam $1.1 million pick six. And actually, it's funny because he did that on HPI and. Last night, we were trying to answer some questions and help some players from Canada who were unable to bet the pick five last night. And so Andrew Offerman from Canterbury is working on that. And if there's more information, we'll get it out. And Rich Eng standing by. And Rich, we've had a full morning. I'm sorry I'm a little late, but I wanted to make sure to get to you because we're now a week in to a revitalized, reopened Las Vegas. Give everybody an update. Good morning.
Hey, good morning, Steve, and all listeners out there. And yes, the the shingle is back up in Vegas that were open for business, and I did have a chance to visit a handful of casinos, more on my side of town, the Sunset Station, the Green Valley Ranch, a couple others, and it was really great to see people not only in the race books again. There's very little sports action, but there was a lot of race action. But you know, I walked around to take a look and see what the health and safety protocols were in place, and there was a lot of social distancing. All the employees wore face masks, and I would say as far as the patrons, Steve, it was close to 50% face masks, some on, some off. And the one thing I noticed, I was at the Orleans too. That was another casino I visited. Was at the entry points, they had some sort of I won't call it a camera, but I guess it takes a picture of your face and it tells the temperature of a person. And then if right. a person has a high temperature, they may have to not allow the person in or give the person some sort of advice anyway, but if people have the normal temperature, they're allowed in, and I didn't see any face masks being given out at the entry points, but as I say, about 50% warm, and I think the overall business, Steve, if people had projections for what was going to happen from June 4th and up until now, is that I think the audience exceeded the projections, so we'll have to see what happens moving forward. I didn't get a real good handle on the Strip. I know there was only a handful of casinos that were open. Not that many were offering race. I talked to some of the operators, and what they're looking for is waiting for the professional sports to kick in. The NBA and the NHL postseason, I guess, is going to start in early July. But when those kick in, then I think the race part will also kick in. So I'm kind of waiting for that in a few more weeks.
Well, as we have touched on, as leading up to this reopening, the ambient trade and people within, I suppose, driving distance, that solid, and I'm sure some people will come in from out of town, but it's that convention trade, Rich, that is going to be key, and getting that revitalized. I mean, that part of it is just, I can imagine how daunting this is going to be, and the group sales departments, there's probably never been more pressure on those people than there is right now.
I really think a lot of that targeting is going to be for 2021. I think it's, if I'm in one of those sales departments, it's going to be hard pressed to get companies to turn things around that quickly to get them in, say, for the fourth quarter of 2020. A lot of companies are struggling. A lot of companies are just getting up, back on their feet. And the convention trade, may not happen until there's a little more stability to their economics as far as how they're doing. So I think 2021 would be the goal that a lot of these departments are going to be shooting for, to try to fill up those ballrooms and to fill up those hotel rooms with conventioners and groups. But, the early indicators, I think people are, at this point, are not that, well, I won't say they're not afraid, but I think they're willing to take the risks or to do the protocols that are involved to stay safe and still travel. So I think there's a pretty good chance for a rebound at some point. I'm more optimistic now than I was even last Thursday, Steve, believe it or not. 7 days,
good.
Thoughts of my temperature is raised, and I think that we can get back on the right track again.
Excellent. Well, you sound encouraged, and players were encouraged, Rich, when we talked last week. Had nice winner early on the card, $13 and change, and then later that Dak Daniels ran well. Just got caught late, but actually went off at about twice the price that I thought he should have.
Yeah, that's the kind of horse where, obviously I would like to see him win, and I'm sure the listeners would like to see him win, but if you're building a vertical ticket, it's nice to at least, maybe if you hadn't considered a horse like that, maybe if it was thrown onto your ticket because of myself, happily maybe somebody hit a try or a super because of that, and that always makes me feel
exactly.
better.
Exactly. Well, and that's what we know. We had that scenario, Nick Tamaro, for last Saturday, actually, as well, when it came to the Carter, and got that nice the 60-1 Uriah St. Louis runner that ended up third and boosted, you know, everybody's try, you know, with Vekoma and company. So, yeah, it doesn't have to be a winner it, all the time. It can be, you know, it can be a horse that, keys, you know, big prices. Rich, just about 3-4 minutes. Two things. See if you got a push or two for this afternoon. But also, how'd you make out last Saturday? Your impressions of the Derby Day and Gold Cup and Oaks and the big weekend at Santa Anita.
Well, I certainly would have liked to see some bigger fields, but we saw some great performances. And I think one of the performances that everybody's still buzzing about was the introduction, the debut of Saison, because Bob Baffert had, you know, openly talked about this horse. And with now the pressure of his three-year-old division, he losing Charlatan and losing Nadal, now he's got a new shooter that, you know, he's got to, you know, develop further, but at least he sure looks like he's got the raw talent to back up what Baffert has been saying about him. So I'm looking forward to that. And Honor AP was sensational in victory. He moved way up my standings. I'm one of the voters for the NTRA, and he moved way up. And now with the injuries, he's going to move up even higher in the next voting.
Well, let's take the last couple of minutes here, and I do want to mention today in New York, you do have the return of Sir Winston in the flat out. You got the mile and, is it a mile and three or a mile and five this afternoon, and Sir Winston not going to necessarily have a bunch of pace to run at, but you do have a nice stake, a stake every day at this Belmont meet. Rich, what do you like this afternoon?
Well, let me give out two horses at Belmont. Let's see if we can get a couple of circles around them. Let's go to race number three at first. 6.5 furlongs, claiming 25 non-winners, what is it, two lifetime. John Toscano looked like he claimed the horse, the number four, Dangerous Edge, that might be getting good at the right time. This horse dropped in from maiden special to maiden 25 for a good trainer, George Weaver, last time. This horse absolutely exploded late to get up. And I think it's just a horse that's getting better, and this might be a very interesting claim. So let's go 25, or let's go use the four horse, Dangerous Edge, in the third race as one of my plays. And then in the last race, I've got a horse that doesn't look that pretty, but I think is an interesting play. And race 10, it's a mile on the turf, maiden 40, and the number three, Sty Town Baby, 4-1 in the morning line. This horse hasn't been out since February, but the last two races look very, very ugly on paper. But the thing is, the turf race, three back at Aqueduct, is a very good race. And if the horse repeats that, it's certainly going to be right there. And 4-1 would be a square price if he can repeat that turf race, Steve. So let's go with the three, Sty Town Baby in race 10 is my second play.
Excellent. Well, the four in the third and the three in the tenth, and for now things remain on the grass, and I'll take the opportunity to wish a good trip to Eric Cancel and Carlisle Bell. She's the 12 in the sixth, and hope she's got enough pace, because you know her tendency is to drop out of it and then come with her run. So looking forward to this afternoon, a little before 4 o'clock. Lots of good racing, though. That stake goes at 5:36 as the ninth, and in addition to Sir Winston, who's 8-5, Rocketry in here for Jimmy Jerkins, and Moretti for Pletcher. This is a nice group, and Gary's got Bluegrass Cat Smile, who was terrific in the stake earlier this winter, and just got nailed late. He's actually 15-1, and without a lot of pace, he's far from impossible. Should be a nice day, and then of course the action on Fox, America's Day at the Races. Tune in, Andy and company, day of coverage, and we're back with the weekend preview tomorrow. Rich, stay safe. Good news, good luck, and we'll talk to you from Belmont next week.
Yeah, look forward to it. I can't believe we're going to be talking about Belmont Stakes next week. The Belmont Stakes is on June 20th of all times.
such as it is, such as yep. This year's first Triple Crown event is. Rich Eng, everybody, Rich Eng for Pro Pick. Then tomorrow and Saturday and Sunday, Rich's analysis available at racedaylasvegas.com. And we'll talk to you all tomorrow. I want to thank Rich and Dick Powell, Steve Haskin, Tony Black, Gary Young started us off ages ago. Oh, you know what? That's why I thought of that that horse that Donato Lanny bought. Smart Farming. Smart Farming's name was fresh in my head because Smart Farming is the dam of rocketry. Then I'm looking at the thing and I'm saying, Smart Farming. Where did I see her name? She's Rocketry's dam. So that Bayoma horse that sold yesterday is a half to Rocketry. Good luck today, everybody. Should be a fun afternoon. I've got Nick Tamaro's selections brought to you by RTN. They're up at the website. And Gus looked at Churchill. So you got Gus and Nick's analysis. And you know what? Since they did those two, maybe I'll try to put together day two at Canterbury with what we learned yesterday. Thanks to Casey behind the glass. Talk to you tomorrow, 9 o'clock. Weekend preview at the races here on SiriusXM.
It's At the Races with Steve Vick on Sirius XM Radio.
Developed by Horseman, HorseBills.com is a cost-effective, time-saving, environment-friendly, paperless revolution of how equine industries bill and receive payments. Vendors are able to generate electronic invoices for each horse, whose owners can pay through the same website with just one click. Say goodbye to stacks of invoices, handwritten checks, and postage costs. Easy accounting for all parties with the highest online security measures. Get started free at HorseBills.com. Simply register with your name and email address. Free to sign up. No subscription fees to vendors until the first invoice is sent. For owners, you get a free account, comprehensive dashboard with information on all horses owned and billing records, ACH and credit card payment options. For vendors, generate invoices efficiently and receive payments quickly from both owners and other vendors. Syndicate and partnership managers get flexible billing and payment options to both vendors and syndicate members. For more info, call 888-938-4643, 888-938-4643, or log on to horsebills.com. That's horsebills.com.
Get started in Kentucky. Over $8 million in additional purse money is available at the 5 Kentucky Tracks for Horses eligible for the Kentucky Thoroughbred Development Fund. Kentucky is a good place to race your Kentucky bred. Come home to Kentucky and make a start.
DRF Sports Form Digital Edition, your ultimate weekly betting guide. Published by Daily Racing Form, DRF Sports Form delivers all of the analysis and insight you need for every NFL game and more than 40 college football matchups. Beat the spread with powerful trends and sharp angles. Tap into best bets, expert picks, parlay winners, and more. All for just $4.99 per issue. Get this week's edition free. Visit drf.com/sportsform. Enter code DRF Sports.
Of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program can prepare you for an exciting career in racing. Turn your passion into a paycheck. Nearly 90% of our students are employed in the racing industry immediately upon graduation. What career track are you on? The University of Arizona Racetrack Industry Program. Enroll today and get on track for success. For scholarship opportunities and more, check out our website at ua-rtip.org.
Why is accreditation important in aftercare? Thoroughbred Aftercare Alliance's standard of accreditation and grant process provide donors with confidence that their contributions are allocated in the most effective manner. TAA accreditation is only awarded after a complete review of an organization. Aftercare cannot be an afterthought for the industry. To learn more or support the TAA's mission, visit thoroughbredaftercare.org.